You're listening to WBH Radio, your host William Holly. Thank you for tuning into this special episode. Joining me today is an Olympic hopeful. This gentleman is a member of the United States 3-on-3 national team. Him and his teammates are looking to qualify for the Tokyo 2021 Olympics. Harlem's very own, Mr. Dominique Jones. Damo, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
How you feeling? You good?
I feel great.
Good, good, man. I appreciate you being here. As I mentioned, you got a chance to qualify for the Olympics. You guys have a qualifying tournament coming up in May. Let's go back to 2017. June 9, 2017, the International Olympic Committee approved the addition of 3-on-3 basketball to the 2020 Olympic Games.
3x3. They'll kill you for saying 3-on-3.
Oh, 3x3.
3x3, yeah.
Where were you at in your basketball career, your life at that point, June 2017?
I was actually playing 3x3. I've been playing 3x3 since, I want to say, 2014. I got introduced to the game by our manager, Jessica. She was actually had like a qualifying tournament that if you win, you had a chance to go to Mexico, and that kind of was started us out from there. So I think I was heavy into the 3x3 life. I want to say I had a couple deals that I could have did 5-on-5, and I didn't want to take it because 3x3, like, it presented a lot of opportunities for me and things like that, as far as just getting to different places and, you know, just leaving an imprint in just a short amount of time. So I was heavy in 3x3 in 2017, you know, just trying to, like, basically find our way and stuff like that. And, you know, as time went on, I think we started doing more events, and with more events gave us more opportunities to showcase. And I want to say leading into 2018, it was a good year for us. And 2019 was an amazing year for us. We won a few tournaments and things like that. So it was pretty great for us.
Okay. First, you said that you had some 5-on-5 opportunities with maybe overseas.
Yes.
But you said, no, I'm going to try this.
3x3.
3x3.
For sure.
You felt like that was the wave and things was moving.
It was.
And when you say we, you're referring to you have a 3x3 team.
Yes.
Okay. Which team is that?
Team Harlem.
Team Harlem.
Yeah.
So you guys were on the circuit. This is like FIBA-sanctioned events.
Yes.
Tell me, how did you come across Team Harlem? Like, how did you guys put that together?
Team Harlem is it was a funny story. Jessica, which I mentioned, is our manager. She was having a 3x3 tournament, and, you know, it was in a heat of the summer. And, you know, I was heavy into 5-on-5 a few years ago and stuff like that. And, you know, you have these summer tournaments, the Dykemans, the Hoops and the Suns, and things like that. So we had games, and, you know, we get paid for those games too. So she presented to us. We're like, oh, yeah, you know, it's something that we may want to do. But, you know, it actually rained that day. You know what I mean? So all the games was canceled. And her event was actually inside of a gym. So we're like, all right, cool, we got it. And, you know, like, she came to me and Dave kind of started it. And Dave,
who was left?
Seegers. Dave Seegers.
That's your teammate at Team Harlem?
Yep. Okay. So she gave us opportunity. So I got Dave. I think we had got my man Abby Rupel, and then my cousin Steve Leiber, I think, was our first tournament ever that we established, like, right, at 3x3. This is like 2014. You know what I mean? Like, she called us on a whim. I just was calling people. And they knew 4 people. So we just called people up, 3 little guards, and Steve was like 6'5" and stuff like that. So we started out like that. And like I said, just year by year, you know what I mean, we've seen like the progression of it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we get to go to Mexico. So you've been going to Mexico for every year since 2014. You know what I mean? Because like I said, you win a tournament, right, then you get to go on and like I said, go to these FIBA sanctioned events. And Mexico was just our prime location because, you know, with that was the easiest thing for us. You know what I mean? As far as like, 3x3 was big in Europe, you know what I mean, and Serbia and things like that. So it was real big in Serbia. So just trying to get our situation to where we needed to be, we just needed more opportunities, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we had to pay, like, for, like, if you wanted to go to these events, you had to pay, you know what I mean? Right. It's hard to find four people that's going to pay $1,000 to go to Europe.
For sure.
So, and, you know, the prize money wasn't as big as it was now. It was like $10,000. So, and when you pay to go to Europe, you know, those $1,000 tickets, you know what I mean? So basically you're spending $4,000, close to $5,000 to win $10,000, you know what I mean? And, you know, we was all coming out of college, you know what I mean? It's still chasing hoop dreams and stuff like that. So, you know, it was kind of hard to, you know, get it done, you know what I mean? So we had to win those events in order to progress and things like that. And, you know, just helped us out. She believed in us and gave us opportunity. So we are definitely grateful for that.
It's funny, man. Amazing things happen, but it's funny to hear the backstory. Like, sometimes it's just left up to chance. You mentioned you had all these summer tournaments lined up and you were playing in Dykeman, different things around the city. But it rained that day.
It rained that day.
So you decided, hey, I'll get this 3-on-3 thing a shot. What do you remember about your first time competing in a 3-on-3 event?
A 3x3 event. Like I said,
What was the gameplay like?
It wasn't as physical as overseas. You know what I mean? That was number one. You know what I mean? So, you know, like, we kind of, the team I put together, like, with me and Dave, we've been playing, like, one of the body snatchers and Abby, we all grew up together kind of situation. So, you know, like, we was three top guards in the city, you know what I mean, like, up and coming. So, and, like, we had our imprint. So, it wasn't, like, too much of an adjustment, you know what I mean? Like, we came out and we did our thing. Right. But the first time, we actually lost to this Staten Island team with my man Dev Curry and man Lloyd. They play on the Harlem Wizards. And they actually had a real good game. We beat them the first time, and they came out and beat us in the chip. So, and they had a chance to also go to Mexico and stuff like that. And one time, Dev, I think they actually won the whole circuit. But like I said, it wasn't as big as it was now. You know what I mean? They kind of started with Zaire and things like that. They kind of started like a little situation and actually won. You know, the competition wasn't that great. But they, not saying about them that they wasn't good, but, you know, like, as like the time went on, you know what I mean, every year, you know, FIBA 3x3, it got way more competitive, a lot more different people starting to, you know, grow accustomed and practice and things like that. Like, you don't need to practice for 3x3 because we wasn't practicing. You know, we just got together, played, and, you know, just let our talent speak for itself. But, you know, as time went on, like, you got to take it a little more serious, you know what I mean, as far as, like, scouting and things like that. Like, a lot of times that's all I watch is 3x3, just trying to find ways to get better, you know, on the court because you need that, you know what I mean? Different defensive schemes, different offensive schemes and things of that nature. So it's been a process, I'm not going to lie.
Let's talk about the rules of FIBA 3x3. Uh-huh. Talk to me about the rules. Like, how does it differ from just us hanging out in the park?
First, you don't check the ball up. You know what I mean? After you score, the other team takes it out the net. You have to take clear it behind the 2-point line because it's not a 3-point line. It's a 2-point line. Once you clear behind the 2-point line, you can play. So it's just constant motion. And then also
that, yo, watching it, the half court, the game is faster than I anticipated.
For sure.
And I think it's that feature. Once the team scores, the other team has to snatch it out, take it behind.
Take it out the net.
And y'all rolling.
And like I said, it's different plays. Like, you'll be surprised. Like, how you get to make a play of somebody of scoring, you know what I mean, which is kind of crazy. So then you have the 12-second shot clock as well. You know what I mean? You got 12 seconds to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? You got 12 seconds for that possession to get it right. You know what I mean? So you got to think quick on the win, you know what I mean? Honestly, you know what I mean? You really got to – 3x3 is not for everybody, you know what I mean? This is not 3-on-3 you play in the park. You know, I have people hit me up all the time, yo, I'm trying to get down with it. Yeah. It's like, bro, first of all, you're not in great shape, you know what I mean? You can't. And the first thing people do when they step on that court, I give a lot of people opportunities, they die, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yo, this is crazy. I wasn't anticipating this. So you might be a great 5-on-5 player, but to be a great 3x3 player, it's a lot of adjustments you have to make, you know what I mean? And you can't just be sticking to, oh, okay, I like to dribble, I like to shoot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to incorporate a lot of different things, you know what I mean? A lot of different cuts, backdoor screens, and things of that nature. Like, you got to do things to put yourself in position or put your team in position to be successful, you know what I mean? That's the biggest part, is just finding people like that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's our biggest adjustment. Everybody think because they can play basketball, you know what I mean, that they'll fit, you know what I mean, just playing 3x3, and that's not the truth at all.
The 3-on-3x rules, you play to 21?
Play to 20. It's 20 first to 21 or 10 minutes. And after those 10 minutes, if the score is tied, then it's the first to 2 points.
Got you. And each basket is 1 point unless you shoot them behind the line, and that's 2 points.
Yes.
And you can make substitutions?
You can make substitution on dead balls. Okay. So if the ball go out of bounds, call a timeout or foul or something like that, then you have that one sub that can come in and sub for you.
And you shoot free throws in a half court set?
Yeah, you shoot free throws. If you get fouled, it's one free throw. If you get fouled behind the 2-point line, it's two. If you get seven fouls, you get two shots. Mm-hmm. And if you get over 10 fouls, you get two shots and the ball back. So it's a disadvantage if you foul a lot. If you think a lot of people get tired, and like, I'm going to take a foul. Those fouls accumulate throughout the game, and it can hurt you. And I mean, it can hurt you. It can help you, and it can hurt you as well.
I mean, basketball is the same. You got to run. You got to be able to shoot. You got to dribble. But what specifically about a player do you think helps them be successful on the 3-on-3 court? Like, when you think about forming the ideal 3-on-3 team, like, what do those players start to look like?
First, I want to say you need people that can adjust. You know what I mean? Like I said, that's the biggest thing. Like, I want to say with my team, you know, like, we have, like, specialty players, like I said, because it's so hard to find. Like Selly, like, you know, just trying to turn him into an offensive threat because he is a hell of a defender. You know what I mean? Like, that's how he makes his mark, is just playing defense and hustling and grabbing those rebounds and stuff like that. But, you know, just trying to teach, like, Marcel, like, how to score, you know what I mean, off of different sets and off pick and rolls and stuff like that. He got so much better, you know what I mean? It's just crazy. So I want to say learning how to adjust, because he's one that I can say actually tries to adjust. Like, I think you could speak for the times you play with him. He was just a defensive monster, you know what I mean, and caught a lot of tap dunks and things like that. But if you look at his game now, like I said, the pick and rolls and, you know, just how he moves on the court with little certain things is that's – if I'm gonna form a team, it has to be somebody that can adjust to different gameplay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not asking him to shoot threes, but shoot twos. But of course, you need somebody that can shoot. You need a lot of different players that can shoot. You need somebody that can put the ball on the floor a little bit. Because, like I said, when you take it out, when you other team score, you got to dribble past that 2-point line. You know what I mean? And certain times, if you can't handle the ball, that's a turnover. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So just finding people that can adjust, I think, is the biggest obstacle in forming a 3x3 team.
He was talking about Marcel Saone. That was my teammate at York College. He's currently tearing up the globe playing with Damo and Team Harlem. Is the traditional post player relevant in 3-on-3? They becoming extinct, Damo.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's kind of really hard. You know what I mean? Like, you have a couple players that's on the circuit that are good post players and can step out a little bit, and you have some, like I said, it's really all about how you adjust. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing wrong with having just a post player, but they got to also defend on the wing. And like I said, just as much as, like I said, Marcel's defensive presence, he can also guard a guard, like, outside on that wing and things like that. So, like I said, that's the biggest key. You know what I mean? People really don't understand that. You know what I mean? I get a whole bunch of players that be like, yo, I like to do this, I like to do that. And it's like, honestly, it's not about what you like. You know what I mean? You got to adjust. You know what I mean? If you get caught up in just only what you can do and you're not trying to get better, then, you know, you won't be playing 3x3 for a long time.
What would you say was the biggest adjustment you had to make? As you said, you was one of the best guards in the city, you know, playing in the summer tournaments. You had a great college career, running up and down full court. You personally, what do you think was the biggest adjustment you had to make coming from the 5-on-5 game to being a force on a 3-on-3 court?
Honestly, just like watching tape and learning from, you know, other teams, you know what I mean? Like, when we was playing other teams, like when we play the top elite teams, they always used to get the best of us. And that's just because they practice, you know what I mean? So just, you know, honestly, being a lead on the team and just enforcing that we practice and things like that, it was really big for us, you know what I mean? And finding ways for us to practice and put in plays where we can all be successful, you know what I mean? Like I said, Marcel is not a shooter, you know what I mean? So just finding how I can make him successful, how I can get him the ball and, you know, just make him successful on the offensive end and put him in positions where he's not uncomfortable defensively and things like that. So watching a lot of film, getting a lot of plays together, like it took a lot of time, honestly. And I want to say 2019 was like our biggest year. We won a lot of tournaments and things like that. Because, like I said, we adjusted and we honestly put a lot of time in the lab. So, just like I said, just being a leader and, you know, making sure I demand certain things out of the guys when we're on the court and things like that. And that's how we became successful, you know what I mean? And like I said, once we really start practicing, then not only did we see it, the world seeing it, because we won. And when you win in 3x3, it presents more opportunities.
Let's talk about that. You know, you mentioned Marcel Saone. That's one of my former teammates at college. I start looking on his Instagram, and all I see is Team Harlem, different country, different trophy, different check. Talk to me about when Team Harlem really hit his stride. Like, who are the guys involved? What are the countries you guys played in? When did you realize, like, oh, snap, like, we moving?
I know, like I said, I handpick everybody, every single guy on that team. Like I said, they all have talent. We all are very talented. Like I said, it just took us getting in the lab, really, and just putting in the time, putting the effort. And it was honestly all six.
Who's the six guys?
It's David Seegers, myself, Marcel, Antoine Morgano, just Cat, Kadani Brutus, and Joey King. So, like, even with that, like I said, we switched out. You know what I mean? Like, we switched, like, you know, throughout that six, we switched every single time. And I was having a baby. So, you know, I had my baby shower. I had to miss a tournament.
Switch out, like, through different events?
Yeah, through different events.
You four are going
to
go?
Yeah, you four are going to go to this event. You four are going to go. And like I said, it created, like, some controversy because, of course, you know, like, everybody wanted to go everywhere.
Of
you
course,
know what I mean? So, you know, everybody had to put Team Harlem ahead of themselves. You know what I mean? And, you know, when there's certain teams going and things like that, I had to honestly look and break down who was going to go to what event, you know what I mean? Because honestly, you know what I mean? You don't want to send a team that's not fully ready, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I said, I believe in every guy is capable, and I really had to preach that to them. Like, I understand that you might feel like I was in that tournament, I won, but this person might better suit because now we got three or four shooters now,
yeah.
And I mean, now we got three shooters instead of, you know, one or two. So, you know, just, you know, helping the guys understand that and just getting through that. Because, like I said, the success got to us a little bit, you know what I mean, to where everybody wanted to go everywhere. And,
I'm sure.
And, you know, like I said, of course, everybody missing out on money and things of that nature. But, like I said, I just had to sometimes make that call, that tough call, you know. And then it wasn't easy for me as well, you know,
sure.
Because, like I said, these are my brothers, you know what I mean, people that, you know, I have traveled the world with and people I have grew up with and stuff like that. So, like I said, just hoping that they would believe in me to make the right decision and things like that. And, you know, with Jess and, you know, we all put the time in, you know what I mean? Like, it took every last one of us, you know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of arguments, you know what I mean? A lot of fights, you know, a lot of disagreements. But when we got on that court, you would never tell, you know what I mean? Because we all put that work in together.
Damo, man, I didn't know so much went into this sport, man. You said you in the crib watching film.
No, it's
crazy.
That's
dope. Give me some of the countries, man. Start listing some of the countries you guys done competed in.
Serbia, Indonesia. Yeah, that's kind of so.
Yeah, I just finished that. Doha.
Doha, Qatar, Latvia, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Tokyo. I'm not Tokyo. We went to Japan, I want to say, Umsunamiya, China a lot of times in China.
And a lot of these are like weekend tournaments.
Yeah, weekend tournaments.
Real life is happening. You said you had a baby. Like,
people got to work.
What's it like? Are you working at this time?
Yeah, I'm still working. I work in a juvenile justice center and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, I put this first. You know what I mean? Like, I do my job and, you know, when I come in, then I have a management team that's very understanding and rooting for me to do all the right things and stuff like that. So, as soon as I come back off tour, yeah, I do my 9-to-5 thing, and then
So y'all like some basketball superheroes. You like Clark Kent at night and on the weekend.
Me, Marcel work. Kadani, yeah, we all. Joey, he works. So, like I said, we all have jobs. And Dave is hooping in Indonesia itself, and so, you know, it's like I said, it's kind of, and just to match the different schedules and things like that and trying to find people to get the time off, that's very important, you know what I mean? Like, last year we had a situation where we had to do it on the team, and he kind of left us out to dry, and we had to go to... He left us... he was scared that he was going to get in trouble by his job. You know, I asked everybody, yo, listen, are you committed to what we're doing, this is that? And like I said, it's just weekend trips, you know what I mean? But sometimes we do go overseas for a week because you got to be certain places, especially with COVID and stuff like that. Now, you have to like quarantine for like 2 days, 3 days, and then So we got to get out there, probably like instead of it just being a weekend, we probably got to miss like four days of work, you know, 3 days of work or whatever the case may be. And
he
left us hanging. You know what I mean, told us last minute after tickets was booked, oh yeah, I don't think I could go. And we ended up having to go with three players. And, you know, it actually affected us because we finished 12th place, which we never done that before. You know what I mean? So it was like, I mean, we had to play with three players because, mm-hmm. you know, Kadani was hurt and Joey was a lot of banged up and stuff like that. So the four, when you decide the four, that four has to go. You know what I mean? It can't really switch out and things like that. So it was kind of tough. You know what I mean? Like just finding guys that's committed. You know, everybody said they want to play until have the opportunity and not doing the right thing with that opportunity is big for us.
This circuit, FIBA. 3x3.
3x3.
3x3. God damn it.
Just X.
The X. I'm going to write an X on my paper. This circuit, 3x3. It's a big deal around the globe.
For sure.
You know, it's like their own little network. Mm-hmm. And Damo, I look at the ranking. You the number 9 ranked 3x3 player.
3x3.
3x3 player in the world. Mm-hmm. The number 1 in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. How'd you pull that off? Like, what, first of all, what you think? What do you think of that when I say that?
I should be number one. I should be number one on everybody's list.
That's what's up, man. No. But what goes into that ranking?
How many events you do? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes a difference. How many points? I mean, assists. All that stuff makes a big difference. Your impact on the court. And you know, like some like a lot of players ahead of me are dudes that had like. Maybe like that one or two events that they had more than us could affect everything. You know what I mean? That affects that ranking. You know what I mean? So that's the biggest thing is making the time. Like when you like I said, it's only if in a perfect world, if you make it to the chip, it's just five games. You know what I mean? You play it's five games. You got two in pool play and then you go into the knockout stages, which is the playoffs and you got three games to the chip. You
know these
what I mean?
Tournaments?
Yeah, and
these
tournaments.
Is five games.
It's just five games.
Okay.
You can make it out of pool play. You got two games. Mm-hmm. So you make it out of pool play.
So you're accumulating points.
So you're accumulating
through, points. Through your participation and your stats.
In your stats, yeah, for sure.
And that's how you climb to number 1 in the United States of America, mm-hmm. number 9 in the globe.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's dope. What's the first contact you had with USA Basketball?
I want to say in 2015, USA Basketball was doing. It's kind of like they're like a national tournament where they have like a whole bunch of different teams. I want to say like probably 30 teams come out and compete. To see how who was the best team in order to like go and like you know it's the World Cup. It's the Pan American Games and stuff like that. Well, Pan American Games just started last year, but it was always the World Cup every year. So that when they did like the World Cup, you know what I mean, it's always a national tournament that they do. And so USA would grant the people that won the tournament, that would be the team that would go on to compete for a World Cup or whatever the case may be.
So you went through that first event as Team Harlem?
Yes.
Okay.
So every year from 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, even 2019, mm-hmm. We was always there. We you know, we lost to the I think one time we went with three players, made it to the Final Four, lost to Princeton. I think Princeton won for the most part every year. Like I said, they was practicing, they had the sponsors and stuff like that, and they took like two or three guys. I mean it took like two or three teams. So either one of the Princeton teams won. Matter of fact, one time a Chicago team won. When they had like Alfonso McKinney, who's in the league, I think he plays with the Lakers right now. They had a dude named Mike Henry. I think he was playing with the Raptors at the time. And they had Andrew, I'm trying to think of his name, Liggins. They went to Kentucky, and he was in the league. So they had three league dudes. I didn't play. My hand was broke, so I sent Team Harlem. And we actually lost in the chip off some crazy rule where like they did something that wasn't a part of the rule. They hit a shot and we had to come off, dudes icing, and they seeing that there wasn't the rule, went, played again, and they hit another lucky shot, and then you know they end up beating us by I think 1 point.
Gotcha.
And stuff like that. So like we've been really competitive on the USA circuit, but you know, some of those tournaments we fell short a few times.
So you talk the USA events. You compete as Team Harlem. You said they put together an event so they could see who are the best in the country.
Exactly. So it probably, I want to say, like 100 and some guys before they was doing it in on the Colorado Springs campus, the USA basketball campus. So the Olympic committee, they did the whole thing over there. So. Yeah. Have like dudes from all over Cali, you know what I mean, New York, like everybody, like every different state probably had about like 30 teams. And like I said, you play in your pool stage, and after you play in your pool stage, you make it to the playoffs, everybody in a knockout round, and whoever gets there, they were sending that four, you know what I mean, whoever won that tournament, they send that four. So I want to say throughout that time, one time the Chicago team won, I think all the rest of the times the Princeton teams won. And I want to say in 2019, since we didn't have success with that one team that was going, because you know they was just playing with that team, now they selected single players now from different teams in order to compete. You know,
this
what I mean?
Is 2019.
Yeah, so now that they made that rule, was like, okay, instead of sending the whole team, they adjusted. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. You know, what I mean, they adjusted, and it was like, all right, since we're not gonna send the whole team that won that event, now we're gonna select, we got a committee now, and the committee is gonna select the four that's gonna go. You know what I mean? The committee is gonna put four players together, and we're gonna see how we go from there.
And you were selected as one of those four.
I wasn't selected to the World Cup team, which I felt I was a little disappointed about, but they ended up winning, so it was good. It was good for the U.S. And then I had my chance. I got selected for the Pan American Games. And, you know, it was dope. You know what I mean? I went with a bunch of great talented guys, and we brought home the country gold. So it was pretty dope.
Why do you believe you weren't selected for the World Cup team, yet you were selected, was it for Pan American?
Yeah, for the Pan American. I don't think it was honestly a real reason. It was just, you know, the guys that went, they were more than qualified. You know, they were pretty talented. But, you know, me, I feel like, like I said, I've always been putting the work in, and it's been a few years. And like I said, we never won as a team, but I was always on them top players and things like that. So
you've represented the U.S. international competition already.
Yeah, I have.
How was it?
It was great. Like I said, we won gold. First, it started off a little shaky. You know, won our first game, lost a couple games in pool play, and then made it to the knockout stage, and we went undefeated, and that was our best. You know what I mean? That was our best day, you know what I mean? So, you know, also the girls won too, so it was pretty dope. You know what I mean? We had a great time. It was a humbling opportunity, you know what I mean, just to say I represented the country and, you know, did it on one of the biggest stages. So it was super dope for me. I appreciated it, and like I said, it was dope. It was.
So when did you know, hey, like, I'm going to compete for the 2020 Olympics as a member of the United States 3x3 team?
We had a training camp, you know what I mean, as a training camp, and we had 16 guys that competed, you know, the top 16 guys, and granted to the top 14 and two other guys that competed in at the camp. And, you know, we switched teams and played and competed for like 3 days during the All-Star weekend in 2019, I want to say, and during 2000, So we got the hoop and compete, and then the committee selected a team from there. Off the dudes that
the committee selected a team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this USA basketball 3x3 national team. You have a gentleman by the name of Kareem Maddox, who's 6'8". He played at Princeton. You have Robbie Hummel, who's 6'8", played at Purdue, spent 2 years in the NBA. You have Kenyon Barry, 6'6", played at the University of Florida, son of Hall of Famer Rick Barry. And then you got Dominique Jones, 5'9", 180, from Harlem, Division II athlete. Before that, a junior college athlete. Damo, one of these are not like the other, man. Like, yo, how you feel when you up there putting on for the Division II athlete or the Division III athlete, not with any NBA experience, no D1 experience? Like, how you feel?
I feel great. You know what I mean? Like I said, I had my role wasn't the same as everybody else's, but anybody that ever stepped between those lines with me, they know I was a D1 prospect. You know, I had schools and things of that nature. But, you know, granted, some things that I couldn't get some things done on the academic side, so I went D2. And, you know, with D2, I was a D2 All-American. You know what I mean? I still put in the work. I played for, you know, one of the top D2 programs in the country, in Fort Hays State. I played in the best Division II conference in the country. So, you know, I appreciated the every step I took. My journey was, you know, it wasn't easy. You know what I mean? It wasn't your normal, you know, I went to the biggest college and, you know, I put on for the biggest stage, you know, I took a little bumps and bruises across my journey and right. I made the best of it. I stood tall, you know what I mean? I stood 10 toes down and, you know, I fought through and I earned everything that I ever got. So, you know, I'm very appreciative of that. I'm very humbled by that. So, you know, and it just gives kids hope, you know what I mean? Like, not everybody needs to. I could have went to a low Division I and got beat up every day, you know what I mean, by colleges. But I went to a D2 program and I actually won, you know what I mean, and put myself in place to do certain things. So, you know, I'm very proud of that, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Dama, you know when you out there and you holding up that gold medal, I got to tell the people, like, yo, I had the privilege of competing against Dama when he was at the Fashion Institute of Technology as a junior college athlete. I was at Kingsborough. One of our biggest wins where we were able to defeat FIT when you guys, I think y'all were the number one team in the country. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was a big and special win for us. And the reason I bring that up is because so many people from that level, they feel less than, they feel inadequate. Like sometimes you ask somebody where they played and they'll say, oh, I played here, but then they immediately start copping a plea, or I should have went there. Nah, yo, it's okay to rep where you from.
Facts.
If you are who you say you are, you're going to end up where you're supposed to be.
I stand tall on that, 100%.
So I feel great pride when I see y'all up there, you, my man, Marcel Saone, like, there was good guys where we came from, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you for that. And as you said, you are inspiration to a lot of those young athletes coming from, no matter where you're from, dog, you put on, you're going to end up where you're supposed to end up. How did COVID derail your plans? Again, you were supposed to compete in the Olympics, or at least fight to qualify for the Olympics last year, 2020. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal about your teammate, Kareem Maddox, and he was working as a podcast producer, then he quit his job so he could train for the Olympics, and then COVID hit, and like his life was turned upside down a little bit. How did COVID derail your plans or change up what you had going on with the basketball? How'd you have to adjust?
It's so hard, you know what I mean? First, you're a year older, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, like I said, you risk all things, injuries and, you know, your health, of course, you know, with COVID and things like that hitting you. So, you know, just finding time to get in the gym is so hard just to get in the gym. You know what I mean? That was the biggest thing with everything closed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just trying to stay in shape and stay afloat and just find different things to, you know, so you can adjust. You know, you couldn't do nothing. You really couldn't compete. You know what I mean? There was no tournaments going on, no nothing. Mm-hmm. People were scared to be around you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, I had to keep my family safe. So, you know, I had to keep my distance, do my thing. So, luckily, I had a, you know, in my job, we have like a little gym. So, you know, I was putting in time and, you know, it's not the best hoop. It's not the best facility. We got kitchen floors for a gym. And, you know, like I said, I kind of work, you know what I mean? I try to run, try to stay in the best shape that I can, that I could. And, you know, and I'm still working to be in better shape. So, you know, day by day as things open up and we come back to a little more normality in our lives. Like I said, it takes time, you know what I mean? It's taking time and, you know, it showed, you know what I mean? We just came from a training camp and, you know, we all, you know, you miss a step, you know what I mean? When you're playing with certain guys, you ain't play with the team. We ain't playing a year, you know what I mean? So
a USA training camp?
Yeah.
When did that take place? Where?
We just came back from Orlando. So we had like a little training camp, a little mini training camp in Orlando and stuff like that. A week, a week and a half. Yeah. About a week and a half. 10 days we was out in Orlando and, you know, we just got back into it, tried to get adjusted back to the, you know, we ain't played 3x3 in so long. You know what I mean? Some guys haven't played in 3x3 in over a year. We had the opportunity to play in, I want to say, like 4 events during the COVID, during the end of 2020 from August. I think we played in 5 events. So I was really like the only person that really played 3x3. Mm-hmm. from us. You know, Robbie, he works also at ESPN and stuff like that. So, you know, he's been working, and Kareem, his team qualified for one event, and they didn't do so well. So he played in one event, and, you know, just like I said, and Kenyon, he's in the G League. So, you know, he's been playing 5-on-5, you know, and just everybody just adjusting and trying to find their way. You know what I mean? It's an obstacle, of course, but, you know, a task that we're more than up to, you know what I mean, in order to put on for our country. This is something bigger than ourselves. So, you know, we take pride in that, and, you know, we're getting ready to do our own little pre-mini camp. You know, we're going to fly out, and we're going to work out together again before our real training camp and stuff like that. So we're fully committed to putting the time in, putting the work in with one another. And like I said, our biggest thing is just adjusting to the times. You know what I mean? Like, if it was easy, everybody would do it. So, right. You know, just finding our way that way, and, you know, making sure we stay focused and get our country to the Olympics.
The qualify event is May 26th to the 30th in Austria?
Austria, yes.
So, 20 teams?
20 teams.
The top three are going to the Olympics?
Top three go to the Olympics.
It's a big deal. So your schedule from April until May, you guys are going to do a training camp?
Yeah.
You're going to pre-camp, you said?
Us four got together, and we're going to do our own little mini camp next week, and we're going to be in Cali for a week, and then that's before our real training camp. So, you know what I mean? We just, like I said, we're taking it serious. So, you know what I mean? We got to put extra time in, and that's what we're going to do. You know what I mean? So, it's like I said, I'm fortunate to have some guys that, like-minded guys that, you know, want to work hard and want to get after it. You know, I'm all for the work. And as we talked about, my road wasn't always easy. So this is something I earned. So we're going to put the work in.
Who do you play against in training camp?
Like I said, we have a whole bunch of different guys, like the Princeton guys, the Harlem guys, so some guys that played in a few Red Bull events and things like that that was pretty good. We don't really know right now offhand, but I know it's going to be some Harlem guys. It's going to be some...
Do you guys have a coach? Who coaches the squad?
Joe Lebanowski. He's he actually coached the USA in the World Cup. So, you know, he does a great job.
3x3?
Yeah, 3x3, uh-huh. Yeah. So he does a great job. He coaches at a high school in PA. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's very capable, and, you know, more than up for the task.
What else did I want to ask you? 3x3.
And there's no coaches. He's an advisor.
He's an advisor?
Yeah, there's no coaches in 3x3.
How does an advisor differ from a coach? Does he make subs?
No, he don't make subs. You can't make subs. There's no subs. You know, you can't even, like, if you was in the stands, you can't even, like, tell us what to do if you wanted to. There's no coaches in 3x3. You have, like, people that, you know, look over tape, tell you what you do and what not to do and ways you think you can, like when you practice, you can advise, yeah, you should do this, but it's us four. We make the subs and we do everything. We call the plays and things like that, or maybe if Joe seen a play that he liked and things like that, or a certain way we should play. Because, of course, you know, if you looking out to the game, you know what I mean, then, of course, you know, I'm sure you watched a game or two and you had your opinion on certain things that should have happened. So just limiting mistakes and just giving us a different eye other than us, than the eight eyes that's on the court.
The four players decide who is in and out of the game. Mm-hmm. Does that lead to trouble?
No, never. Of course, like I said, 3x3 is a high impact sport, and a lot of dudes be fighting to come out. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you know, in shape. Yeah, no matter how much shape you in, nobody really just stays in the game and say, yo, I'm going to stay here. Everybody needs a break. If you're playing the right way and you're playing hard and you're doing the right things, you're going to definitely want to come out.
But when it comes down to crunch time, Damo, we all want to be in there.
We can. But like I said, it's just make the call. You know, you got to believe in your teammates. Right. And, you know, of course, some people are harder than others. Mm-hmm. Some people are, you know, better defenders than others. And, mm-hmm. you know, some people communicate better than others. So, like I said, you know who you're out there with, so mm-hmm. you just got to trust in that decision, you know what I mean? Of course, if I feel it, of course, I'm staying, you know what I mean? You know, I got this, or whatever the case may be. It's no fights, it's no arguments, you know what I mean? It's just a call at the time, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's all.
Speaking of which, when I was looking at the rules, I saw that both teams warm up on the court before a game at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Any issues there?
No issues.
Nah.
No.
Damn, I'm ignorant. My fault.
Yeah, so like I said, it's a respect thing. You know what I mean? And that's the way you work out. It's not too much. You don't get 2 hours of warm up and stuff like that. Yeah. You get a minute of a layup line, so everybody's real respectful of that. You get your layups in, get a couple shots in, get a feel for the ball, whistle blow, coin flip. Let's get right to it. You know what I mean? There's really no procrastinating in 3x3. You know, you honestly got to get to it. You got to be ready before the time even comes. You know what I mean? Stretching or you're running. And if you take a long time to get loose and things like that, and, you know, you'll be running up inside while the other game is going on. Be running up and down the sidelines while the other game is going on, or behind or in the tent getting taped or whatever, or doing whatever. You got to do all that stuff before you step on the court. Because when you step on the court, you got a minute just to touch the ball, get acclimated, and like I said, time you got to go. Get right to it.
Time to go.
Yeah.
Speaking of the ball, it's a little bit different than what we play in college. And
yeah, for sure.
It's got like ridges and stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's a men's size weight, but a woman's size.
Wow.
So, you know.
What do you make of it? What's
it's good to me. Like I said, I've played with, you know, the worst basketballs in the world. But I love it. It's a Wilson basketball. Like I said, it has the ridges. It's great for shooting. You honestly really can't tell the difference. You know what I mean? If you touch the basketball and you can really score the basketball, you're going to be like, oh, I love this basketball. You know what I mean? This is something I love. You know what I mean? So it's a pretty dope experience.
How come we don't see many NBA players on the FIBA circuit?
First, we play for prize money. So if you have an NBA contract, I don't think you want to play for prize money. I think you want guaranteed money and things of that nature. But, you know, it's been a lot of, ex-NBA players and that's interested in the game, but it's not easy just to get on to it. Like I said, you got to win certain things. Yeah. And, you know, like I say, it's all about finding the right people. Journey. Just because you played in the NBA, like I said, 3x3 is not for everybody. You know what I mean? And that's one thing people learn real fast. You know what I mean? It's not the same as, you know, your big three or just 3-on-3 in your neighborhood and things like that. So you have to really adjust. You know what I mean? You have to be one of the people that adjust if you want to play this game.
What are some of the best 3x3 teams in the world, country? Top 3 or 4 right now?
Well, if I go by ranking, I want to say it's a Serbian team right now. The Latvia team. Riga, they're number 1 in the rankings right now.
Riga,
yeah. And that's in Latvia.
Okay.
So those guys number 1 right now. Number 2 would be Limon.
Mm-hmm.
They're a Serbian team. Number 3... It's a new team called UB, but they did some player shifting, and they're number 3 in the rankings. Team Harlem, we're number 4,
mm-hmm.
and Princeton is number 5.
What's the toughest competition you faced out there?
Honestly, I would say it's the Serbian teams. Like I said, they stick to their principles. You know what I mean? To everything that they do. You know what I mean? So they don't really do anything different. They do the same thing, but they do the same thing and it's effective.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So hats off to those guys, because like I said, when you say adjust, it's big, you know what I mean? But they, like I said, they stick to their principles and they run their stuff to a T. You know what I mean? They run their plays and just their actions. And out there in Serbia, they got courts named after them and all that. And 3x3 is like real. Like, we have no 3x3 courts in New York. You've never seen one. You don't know what one looked like out here in New York or even in the States. But in Serbia, they have, you know, they have courts, team courts, player courts, and all type of things like that. So it's dope for them. You know what I mean? They kind of pioneered the 3x3 game a lot and been real successful in doing so. So, you know, we trying to take down the Giants.
Did you see USA Basketball as a new managing director or one set to direct after Jerry Colangelo?
I seen it. Grant Hill.
I seen that. Grant Hill done did it all in basketball.
For sure.
Damn, son. The college level, the pro level. Now he's doing it on the business side. So USA Basketball should be in good hands for a very long time. Disco Damo.
Yes, sir.
That's your nickname. If you look online, you see all type of highlight reels and stuff. What's Disco Damo about? Tell me, man. How'd that come about?
I want to say street ball announcer gave me that name. honestly, it looks like I'm playing with the ball. You know, when I'm dribbling, I got to be crafty. I got to make a few moves to get around these 6'5" dudes and things like that. So that's where the disco come from. And Damo, of course, is short of my government name. Yeah. So put it together. It's been Disco Damo for a lot of years. I want to say over like, I'm getting old. I want to say like 13, 14 years. And you know, it's all in. Always stuck, you know what I mean? So I think it's a dope nickname. I like it a lot.
Representing your country, you know, does the civil unrest and, you know, people calling Lady Liberty's values and morals into question, does that taint your experience at all, representing the country?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Like I said, I know what I'm here for. I live in this country, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm going to put on for this country, you know what I mean? Sure. I have the opportunity to do so. You know, of course, there's a whole bunch of madness going on, but those are people acting to their abilities, you know what I mean? And whether you like it or you dislike it, you know what I mean? Like I said, this is the country I live in. This is a country that, you know, I'm very proud to be from, you know what I mean? And that's with me traveling the world. You know, I've seen a lot of different places, but it's nothing like home, of course. So, you know, I'm gonna do right by my country, and you know I'm gonna try to lead the right way. You know what I mean, regardless of any social justice or activities that we got going on that I don't agree with. It takes one person, you know what I mean, that could change everything. Yeah. You know what I mean, and just me having this platform and just getting it out there, and you know I can make a difference there. You know what I mean, I can inspire somebody else coming from behind me to change. You know what I mean, sure. People see different. Ethnic, you know what I mean. So that's how I got tongue twister. Get together and you know have one common goal, and that's to win basketball and put on for your country, and do everything you can to you know be a pioneer in whatever it is that you do.
That's good. That's good. Good for you, man. America is what you make it. I believe that
for
too.
Sure.
So, like you said, you could be the change. You can go out there and rep for your country. I'm glad you worked hard. And you deserve that. 3x3, to the young kids out there who finishing up their college career or looking for direction, they want to start a 3x3 team. Like, how do they get on that path? How do they put it together?
Find some like-minded individuals mm-hmm. like yourself that's, you know, willing to take a chance. You know what I mean? Like I said, you get on by honestly winning, you know what I mean? So you want to put a team together that you feel can compete. You know what I mean? It's not about friends or, you know, people that you knew for a long time or even this person killing for 5-on-5. You got to see how the person can perform playing 3x3, you know what I mean? So that's the biggest obstacle people have. You want to put your friends down. Don't want to put better people down. That's, you know what I mean, that can be, suit your team, but, you know, they want that opportunity, you know what I mean? And with that, it's a whole bunch of, if you're going to play FIBA, they have a whole bunch of different events around the world that you can go to. Of course, you got to pay for those until you get in the top 30. So in order for you to get in the top 30, you got to compete in a lot of tournaments. So you got to put together, you know, find a sponsorship and things like that, or find sponsorships or, you know, people work, save your money, you know what I mean, register for these events, mm-hmm. do well in these events. And when you do well in these events, the opportunities will open up from there.
Put your team together, find you an event, compete.
For sure.
For sure, for sure. Let's see what else I got for you, Damo. About to let you get out of here quick. I was looking at your social media, hashtag Everything for Grayson.
Everything for Grayson.
What's that about?
It's my little man. Everything's for him. It's the biggest thing I've done in my life thus far. And I think it's going to remain that way. I became a father. I'm going to die being one. So just trying to build a legacy for my son to look up to and be inspired by. And, you know, like you spoke about earlier, all the obstacles and things I went through, it's not your usual ideal, you know, heroic story, you know what I mean? And I went through a path that some people might not know about, you know what I mean? So just him seeing that and learning that, you know, through whether it is social media, all the interviews I do and things like that, I just want him to know that he can be anything he wants, you know what I mean? As well, as long as he put the work in and strive to be great and be great in every situation and play his best foot forward, sky's the limit for him.
Sky's the limit. Man, how can people follow you? How could they watch the qualifier in May?
The qualifier in May, or you can watch on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll type in 3x3 Olympic qualifying tournament. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. Or you can follow FIBA 3x3, and they'll have the game stream live and have all type of different options out there for you to look at. You can follow me at DJones5 on Instagram. Dominique Jones on Facebook. Not hard to find. I mean, anybody that want to play the game, that's inspired to play the game, you know, I'm going to try to do a couple camps and things once things open back up and get, like I said, more normalized and things, so I can help the next generation, because, like I said, it's not about me. And, you know, although I didn't play in the NBA and things like that, I feel like FIBA 3x3 is here for a long time, and it's another way to gain revenue. And like I said, I'm trying to open up the floodgates for it, you know what I mean? So it's starting with me, and I'm hoping to open up for the next generation. And even if it's not a long-term journey for them, it's another way just to, you know, experience the world and different cultures and things like that, because it's a lot of that. It's a lot of different countries that play in these events. I want to say sometimes it'd be 12 different countries, and you just learn a lot about these people and a lot about their culture and the things they go through. And you build bonds with people that, you know, you never thought you would, and you touch people that you would never think. So I get hit up all the time from kids from different countries and stuff like that. I'm very humbled by it, and, you know, it means a lot to me. So, you know, with that, like I said, I'm just going to keep striving for more.
That's dope, man. Get some shout out. Yo, Selly Cell, I see you, baby. Keep working.
Yeah, Cell Block.
Get some shout outs, man. We almost out of here.
Shout out to Grayson, man. Shout out to my little man. And I love you. And like I said, about to be, it's turning 18 months now, so he pushing them terrible tubes. Yeah. You know, cry baby right now. Cry baby. You know what I mean? Shout out to the family. Shout out to Team Harlem. Dave, Cat, Kadani, Brutus, Joey King, Antoine Morgano, 50 Cat. I mean, shout out to those guys, and everybody that came along, you know what I mean, through this process, you know what I mean? Like, nobody to go unforgotten, you know what I mean? Anybody that ever suited up for Team Harlem, I appreciate you, you know what I mean? Because this wouldn't be possible without you guys. So thank everybody.
Disco Damo, appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, man. That's WBH Radio. I'm William Holly. We out.
Yes, sir.